الحمد لله المنشئ الخلق من عدم ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون صدق الله العظيم. Honorable ulama, elders, brothers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Our praise is due to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala who has granted us the tawfiq to be present in the masjid, the beloved places of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should be thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our hearts, our minds, our tongues, that Allah granted us the tawfiq to be sitting amongst the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such an auspicious gathering, a gathering of people who have gathered for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala fulfill this umid, this desire of ours. May He grant us His connection. May He increase us in love for Him and amongst ourselves. May Allah tabarak wa ta'ala create unity of heart, unity of mind. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept each and every one of us for the khidmat of deen with ashir, salamati and aman. I'm just sharing a few points which Hazrat Wala Hazrat Mullah Abdul Hamid Sahib had rendered in a bayan in the King Ross Masjid a few weeks ago. And this aspect of akhirat is something that is obviously in the forefront of each and every person. So in this ayat al-kareema, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, this has given us another prescription by which we can reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are many, many ways to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this ayat of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the believers, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, which is a royal address, it's a special address. So each one should take it personally that this is addressed Allah, He's addressing it to me, that how can I reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Ittaqullah. Have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Hazrat had explained yesterday what taqwa is, but just we will be repeating a few of the points so that we can sit. And as Maulana had mentioned, one is it will sit in the brain, and then from the brain it needs to come down to the heart. And what will bring it from the brain to the heart is the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So with the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with la ilaha illallah, we transfer it from the brain and put it into the heart. So this taqwa, before we come to that aspect, Hazrat spoke about the virtue in the Hadith Sharif. It is mentioned, if a person recites three times, A'udhu Billahi Sami'il Alimi Minash Shaitanir Rajim, and recites the last three ayats of Surah Al-Hashr, that Hu Allahu Alladhi La Ilaha Illa Hu to the end, then the virtue of this is Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, وَكَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ سَبْعِينَ أَلْفَ مَلَكٍ, that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will appoint for this person 70,000 malaika. 70,000 malaika who will be doing work for him. You stand, what is the work? They were making dua for him. Allahumma fir lahu warhamhu. Allah Ta'ala make his forgiveness. Allah Ta'ala's special mercy descend it on such a person. 1, 2, 3 pious people make dua. We are like 70,000 malaika who are ma'asum. And this is the opportunity that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has given us just by reading this. So Allah give us tawfiq to read it. Not only that, but if that person passes away during the day, then mata shaheedan, or tilka layla, if he reads it after maghrib, so he will have the status of a shaheed. And the reward, the status of the shaheed is before his blood touches the ground, then his sins are all forgiven, except death. But so this is such a great virtue, and hardly takes us a few seconds. So may Allah grant us the tawfiq that we recite this morning and evening, we learn it. And this is part of now our preparations for akhirat, our preparations for maut. It is in conjunction with this ayat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that now let us look, وَالْتَنْزُرْ نَفْسُمْ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ, that look in yourself, what is it, what have you done, what have you prepared for tomorrow. So here, لِغَدْ means tomorrow, referring to akhirat, which the Mufassirin allude to, they say that it gives us an indication that akhirat is very, very close. It's like tomorrow. And what is tomorrow? Tomorrow is still there, but what is the value of our life? We don't even know that the next moment we could be gone. So what preparations have we done for ourselves for tomorrow, for our akhirat? So Umar Palunpuri Rahmatullahi mentions, so well, one is to employ people. We know when we're employing people in the workplace, so we're going to take a person at home to work, we ask so many questions. What can we afford it? What's the salary going to be? Is it really necessary, etc.? So, but here you are employing 70,000 malaika. no accommodation to worry about for them, no payment you have to worry about, for free. And what, how much of work they're doing for you, so much of work they're doing for you. So these are so much of benefit in it. So Allah give us tawfiq to make amal on this. Umar Farooq Rahmatullah Ali used to say that I don't start my work, I don't even have my breakfast until I first put 70,000 malaika on duty. They will start their work. And like how we understand, person's got a passion for something, then that he puts priority to. So if you have a passion for our deen and our akhirah, then we will put this first. Like how a businessman, he is worried about his money. So when he wants to see the business, when he starts first and the till is ringing and opening and closing, until he hears that sound, then he's content. Then he'll say, okay, I'll have my breakfast after that. So Mullah Parampuri Rahmatullah Ali, you see that I don't start my work until I first put 70,000 malaika on duty. So the aspect of Allah addressing to us to have taqwa. So here briefly, taqwa means to observe and fulfill all the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only our salah, but also our mu'amalat, our mu'asharat, our business, how we deal with our business, our relations with our neighbors, how am I eating, my sleeping, every aspect of my life. This is what taqwa is, the essence of taqwa is. So this all should be in a conformity. So one is the muttaqeen, those are those people who do these actions, but it is the muttaqeen, those who, and this is for us, people who do all the fara'is, so if we should be doing all our fara'is, we're staying away from guna, we are doing our wajibat, the sunnat muakkada, etc. We are doing those things. So a person who does all those things at every moment, whatever the hukam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, in obedience of Allah, he is a muttaqi. So this is a very, very great, lot of reward for it. And then you have those who have, you see, a cut above the rest, and they are referred to the abrar. So the abrar are those who do the same actions as the muttaqin. They do the fara'is, they do the wajibat, they do the sunnat, the muakkada, they're doing, but they're also doing extra. And this, they are doing the nawafil. So by bringing nawafil into our lives, we will be getting the chance to be amongst the very special abrar. And by way of example, Hazrat explained that one is you get a cook, and a cook, you employ him to do the cooking, and he just cooks his meal, and then he presents it, and that's it. He says, my job done, and he goes away. But you have another cook who does a little bit extra. After he is not paid, but from his own side now, he, after preparing the food, he comes and he serves it to you as well. And after serving it, then he even picks the food up, he picks the dishes up for you as well. And he washes the dishes also. And he's not expecting any remuneration. But how much a person will appreciate it. And Hazrat says that how your heart will open up to such a person. So when a person does extra for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in turn gives this person a lot much more. So the question is, what is the condition of our iman? We all speak about iman, we say, times of fitna are very difficult, you know, it's like a string of beads that have fallen off a tasbih. But he says that, Hazrat says that, what are we really doing about our iman? When it's a cold day, everybody puts their jackets, put their socks, you put the heater, etc. on. But when it comes to our iman, so what are we doing to protect our iman? So these amal are all methods by which we can protect our iman. One very important way by which we can protect our iman is to reply to with regards to the adhan. So three things. One is pay respect to the adhan. And a person respects the adhan is one of the means of protecting our iman. Second is when the rights of the adhan is to reply to the adhan. And thirdly, to respond to the adhan. So a person is doing any work, he leaves all his work immediately, puts his phone down, and then he comes to his salah. We understand this. If a person got a very, he's on a phone call and somebody more important comes, then we hardly say, I'll call you back. Sometimes we won't even do that. We'll just cut it. But who is calling us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the example Haji Ahmad Nakuda Sahib Rahmatullah Ali quotes is of a lady in Mumbai. And at the time of her maut, she was speaking Arabic. And she was saying very, very fluent Arabic, which the people then called the imam to come and hear what she is saying. And he was also shocked that this lady was saying in pure Arabic that Hazani Rajulani, that these two people, Yaqulani Li, that they are saying to me, Udkhulil Jannah, that enter Jannah. So people, and then, so they were surprised. Why they were even more surprised was because she was not known to be a very pious lady, rather she was actually known to have been doing things that are looked down upon, selling her body, etc. So they were even more surprised. And the imam asked that, what was this happening? So then they said, we all know the same, this is how it is. However, there was one quality, and that was that whenever the azan used to take place, then she used to chide the people around, and she would say, shh, means keep quiet and reply to the adhan. So perhaps on the reply of this respect to the adhan, look at what mode Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted to her. And also with regards to paying the wife of Harun al-Rashid. So we all know it was very famous, her generosity, etc. But at the time when she had passed on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, somebody had seen her in a dream and asked her, perhaps it was all these qualities. So she narrated one time that I was busy sipping on water and the adhan had went. And I for the respect of the adhan, I didn't take the next step. I waited for the adhan to complete. I respected the adhan. And on that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted her the high maqams of akhirat. So respect of the masjid also is something that is very, very important. Occasions of nikah, jalsas, etc. Many a times we just talk, we will be disrespectful in the masjid. We are causing great harm to our iman. And but respecting it, so Hazrat gives this example that the malaika, it is mentioned in the Hadith Sharif, that when a person speaks in this particular manner, disrespectfully in the masjid, or is speaking loudly, etc., disturbing people who are reading salah, etc., then an angel first warning is uskut ya wali Allah, O friend of Allah, keep quiet. The second warning the angel will give is the person continues that uskut ya baghid Allah, that O the enemy of Allah, keep quiet. And the person still continues, then what is severe warning the third time, that uskut ya la'natullahi alayk, that so to say shut up, and may the curses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be. So what harm we could be doing to ourselves without realizing, Allah grant us tawfiq to make amal inshallah. So how to get taqwa is a very, very easy way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, just think that what am I doing? Wal tanzur nafsu ma qaddamat lighat, what am I standing for tomorrow? And Hazrat gives the example that like that of our life is the example is given as though we are on a railway station. And as our life is going, there is a train that's got coaches in it. And as our life is passing, we are walking, the train is also moving. And these coaches they are all empty. It's just a matter of now, what are we putting in there? If we are putting good amal, then we are putting in those compartments of the train, we are putting the gardens of Jannah, we are putting the hurul in, we are putting the fruits of Jannah, we are putting the palaces of Jannah, etc. by our good amal, because this is what our good amal translate into akhirah. So every movement and every moment, this is an opportunity that we have. And if we are involved in sin, we are involved in guna, the reality is we are filling those coaches. What we are filling it with? We are filling it with the snakes of akhirat, the fire of Jahannam, the crocodiles, the monsters, and all those terrible, terrible punishments we are on our own putting into those coaches. And when our life comes to an end, then we will have to jump on in the train. And we will be right in the back. And what we have sent ahead, that is what we definitely going to be finding over there. And the first stop, Hazrat says, will be the qabr. When a person goes to the qabr, whatever you sent, the effect of it will be there in the qabr. And then all our amal we will find that will be over there. So Allah tabarak wa ta'ala has mentioned, وَالْتَنْزُرْ نَفْسُ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ, for tomorrow. That means Qiyamah is very, very close. And we have no guarantee for ourselves. A person can just suddenly get a heart attack, or maybe go to sleep. How many instances we hear of people going to sleep and hardly they don't even get up the next morning, or perhaps Allah Ta'ala save, crooks come in and just a shot is fired, a person is gone. So what have I done for tomorrow? And the condition is there, whether in this world, husband and wife, they may be having very, very good relationship and very, very close to each other. But when a person passes away, even they will be buried separately. But even if they had to be buried together also, let's say they were so close, but when a person has to give hisab in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, each one's hisab will be taken separately. And so this effect of this gunas that we do, this is very, very common, is the sin of the phone, abuse of the phone. Many people, eyes are out of control. So these are things we don't see what we are thinking, the effect of our mind, our tongues. We're slandering, we're backbiting. And we are so addicted to these gunas that we don't even hardly realize that these are things that are going to be affecting us. A pious person, and when he passed away in the qabr, then a ferocious dog came to attack him. But his other amal came to his defense. So which means that even that, is, although he was protected, but having a ferocious dog coming to attack you is not a pleasing, it's not an easy thing. So, and when the person is in a qabr, you can't do anything to save yourself. There is no SOS, there is no emergency button, there is nobody you can phone to help. You are all alone and you are only at the mercy of what's there in front of you. So, but an easy way to get taqwa is to ask do we ponder ourselves? Did we ponder, what am I going to be doing? Youngsters, we're always pondering, we're thinking, what's curriculum, what subjects I must choose for my career path in the dunya. A business person is always looking how I can change my position, how I can, what should I do with my investment, my extra money that's coming, what properties I should buy, etc. So this is the condition for us in dunya, but what is my condition going to be there in the akhirat? So in this dunya also, we worried about little things, that what is the tap washer needs to be changed, the light bulb needs to be changed, but we're not really asking ourselves that what is going to be there, what is my investment for akhirat. So وَلْتَنْزُرْ نَفْسُ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ. That the best provision that you can have is taqwa, and that is the fear and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So very few people get this tawfiq, but this is something that we should make dua for. And if a person gets this tawfiq, he comes for programs, then his life changes. Perhaps he may have led a sinful life, and after his life changes, then Hazrat advises that then after, don't get a holier than thou attitude. That a person shouldn't say, because there's a difference between the two types of people. One is a person who is in sin, and the person who is in sin generally feels very, very guilty and bad, and is always remorseful about it. And they will look up to the people who are pious and say, no, you are very pious, we are terrible people, you are Allah wala, you are very pious, you make dua for me. Now, Hazrat asked the question that when a person has this type of attitude and he goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is in a better position? Person who thought, I'm good, I did so much, I'm looking for, he is in a slippery position. But the person who is always remorseful going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is a greater chance Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him as well. Now, a person, one is pride, where a person considers himself that I am good, that I am better than other people. So this is absolutely haram. But there is another aspect which is ujub, that is self-conceit. So he says, I am good also. So this equally is very, very harmful spiritually. So Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullahi alayhi has given a muraqabah, a prescription for this, and that is daily a person should make this muraqabah and say to himself, taking his own name, that presently, Zubair, you are, from all the Muslims in the world, you are the lowest. And as far as the future is concerned, from all the kuffar, the non-Muslims, and from all the animals, Zubair, you are the worst. And the explanation of this is that a kafir, at the end of his time, he can recite kalima, and the animal, there is no hisab kitab for them. If he recites kalima before his maut, he will go to Jannah. And if I was displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in some way, or if I lose my iman, Allah ta'ala protect, then I am in a worse position. So it is mentioned in a village, a certain person had passed away, and a person of very bad character, etc. So nobody even wanted to attend the janazah namaz. Nobody came. So after 3 days, the wife had to pay some laborers and say, just wash however you know, and bath however, give ghusl however you know. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired the buzurg of the time that my wali's janazah, it is in the masjid, is in the Qabristan, go and perform. So everybody went, they saw this person and said, oh, what's the understanding of this? So they asked the wife, went back. So she narrates that we all know how he was drunk, doing all the wrong things, but whenever he used to come home then at night, about in the early part of the morning, then he'll have a cold shower, wash himself with cold water, and then he'll turn in repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, which corner of Jahannam have you made for me? Meaning he's turning in Tawbah. And his habit was, he used to keep a orphan in the house, and the clothing of the orphan, the feeding of the orphan was given preference. So means before his family and him ate and dressed themselves, they would take care of this orphan. So look on this, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. So the lesson we should be taking from here is the sifat that we should also be bringing. And at no stage can we be condemning or looking down on people. And commonly we say, sometimes a person is very pious, but you say, no, he doesn't have a good heart. So as I say, what we should be making effort is to bring ourselves, and to give this, bring our amal. So on this aspect, you know, Hazrat gives the narration that in a hospital in America during the COVID period, in one non-Muslim, he observed that on that Sunday, a lot of people were coming to visit the one patient in the hospital who was a Muslim. So he asked, how come you got so many people, nobody came to visit me? He said, no, in Islam, we are taught that we should support each other, visit the sick, etc. So he asked, can I also become a Muslim? He said, yeah, you can. So the person immediately started to read the kalima. So obviously, it's a bit difficult to learn to read la ilaha. So with great difficulty he was learning. But the moment he got the recitation right, immediately thereafter he passed away. So just look at from one person, non-Muslim, but just how Allah Ta'ala made his maghfirat and his hidayat. So So this maut is something that looks very normal. And this is a fazl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala between Muslim, non-Muslim. Maut will look the same. But what is actually happening inside, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has concealed. But however, on the day of Qiyamah, everything will become very, very, very visible. Everything that was done, what we have done on the phones, in our private, in all the things will be exposed in front of our parents, our children, and all those body parts will also speak and will give shahadat. Now, how embarrassing it will be that in front of your daughter, your family, your daughter-in-law, whatever you did comes in. So now, whilst we have the chance to look and put our affairs right, let us do it. So we spoke about the qabr. The qabr is a very, very serious stage, but more serious than that, Hazrat says, is the crossing of the pul sirat. The crossing of the pul sirat is a period of 1,500 years. As I say, in the madrasa, sometimes students come after great difficulty. We asked him, came from a remote place. He says it took four or five days to come, passing through various airports with great difficulty, so tired. But what is 4 or 5 days compared to 1,500 years and that of akhirat? And besides, if you slip over there, where you're going to be going? We're going to be into Jahannam. Allah protect us. So Mala Palum Puri Rahmatullah Ali, that once he got up in a bayan and he crying and he saying, oh my brothers, that you know, on the day of Qiyamah, that so many people will be crossing and they will see us in Jahannam. And they will say that how come we did what you told us to do and we are passing, how come you are over here? They will reply that it is because we told you, but we ourselves were not making amal. So this Jannat and Jahannam is really, in reality, it's a reality. It's not just a five-letter word, it's a reality. And it is mentioned in the Quran Kareem, the description of Jahannam, that لَهُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِهِمْ ظُلَلٌ مِنَ النَّارِ وَمِنْ تَحْتِهِمْ ظُلَلٌ, that such is the ferocity, it's like on top and bottom, like you sandwich in fire. And what sandwich in the fire of Jahannam. So here in this dunya, we can't tolerate a small flame burning us. But what about such flames? We can't tolerate a snake bite, a bee sting. But the scorpions of Akhirat, the snakes of Akhirat, this is really something else. And لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا. There is no death that's going to come to you. You're going to be in, like, how we say, like in a coma. A person, you can't bury a person who is in coma because he's not responding, but he's still living. And in Jahannam also, there will be food. No other food, but the food that is over there itself is going to be very, very bitter and very, very thorny. But you will have to eat it. And when you eat it, it's going to get stuck on your throat. You can understand difficulty. A person is eating and a fish bone gets stuck, how it creates. Now, what to say about the bitter fruits of Jahannam and those that are spiky. So and Hazrat then after says that in another ayat of the Quran Kareem, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes the inmates of Jahannam, إِذِ الْأَغْلَالُ فِي عَنَاقِهِمْ وَالسَّلَاسِلُ يُسْحَبُونَ, that there they will be shackled, and they will be shackled that they can't even move. In the dunya, if you have some pain, it's not really going to help you in your pain, but you can move a little bit and feel like you're getting some relief, but there you won't be able to move to such a degree that even your eyeballs will be shackled. You won't even be able to move your eyeballs. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from these things. But all these things today, he said, we are sitting here in the masjid, and I am speaking. So whether I am speaking with sincerity or not, who knows? Namaz, our salah, etc. So many people will be reading namaz. But the effect of the namaz is فَوَيْلُ لِلْمُسَلِّينَ, that the effect of the namaz is still going to be that they are going to destruction. Why? Because there is no concentration in the salah. There was no devotion in the salah. So, and the istinja was not correct. The wuzu, there was just no real doing wuzu properly, just splashing. So we may be thinking that we are doing amal of jannat, etc. But the reality could be far from it. But and if a person makes effort so let us see what we are doing for our akhirat. In the hadith sharif, it is mentioned that the person gets up for tahajjud and he's got a beautiful wife, and soft, comfortable bed, but for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he decides to leave this and to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter announces and that he loves this particular person. So this is a very, very easy prescription to get the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not only that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one, loves the person, but Allah also announces his love, makes it known. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then also fulfills the demands of the love by protecting this person from harm. And also the hurul een surround this person in this dunya also. This is now that the person hasn't overeaten and his stomach is not full. So this is the benefit that a person will get from this year. So after doing all amal, etc., Hazrat advises that we should all remain in humbleness and in to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another prescription is further given in this ayat, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of what you are doing. So in this, there are two aspects. One is a positive aspect, that whatever good a'mal we are doing, Allah is aware of the good action, is displeasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is happy with me. And the other is, a person is doing actions that are displeasing to Allah, he should be aware of the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These will help him to remain focused. And do not wala taku, in the ayat after that, wala takunu kal ladina nasullah. Don't be like those people who forgot Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Last night Hazrat spoke about when a person forgets the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the punishment is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes him forget himself. And when a person forgets himself, then a person will when a person doesn't get up for namaz, then what is it? He's forgetting himself, he's forgetting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he forgets himself, then you start doing business, you're selling backdoor, and then you're worried about World Cup, soccer, cricket, etc. The reality of this is that you have forgotten yourself. You have forgotten where your benefit lies. And then this is the azab that comes. And one of the first things that also generally happen, a person gets involved in extramarital affairs, and then when that happens, then he immediately makes enemies with his wife. Where he had no problem, everything was going well, now he's having problems with it. And then after that, we blame it on jadu, a person not paying attention to his business, he says, no, jadu happening. Actually, the problem is with ourselves. So if we keep Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands alive, then we will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look after us. And we aspire for the best house, the best car, lifestyle, etc. We forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then eventually we find that all these things come about, but then we don't have time. We don't have time for each other. We don't have time to be with each other. He said we'll be in a gathering. We'll be 3-4 people, but one person is communicating in Australia, one person is speaking to somebody in America, but amongst themselves there is no muhabbat, there is no communication. So, and then we will also, then our interests and everything change. We will see our success in dunya, and we will see in education, universities, but where the real success lies is there, we will not see it. We will not see our success in tilawat of Quran Sharif, in zikrullah, etc. Then Hadith Sharif, Hazrat quotes the Hadith Sharif of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, where Allah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam mentioned that Jabna Adam, tafarrag li ibadati amla wa sabbaka ghinan, that O son of Adam, that free yourself for my ibadah, and I will fill your heart with riches, and you will be content, and you will be happy, and I will close the doors of poverty, and if you don't, then I will make you busy all the time, and your needs won't come to an end. The other attack of shaitan, as Hazrat mentioned yesterday, was like, for example, a person, he's got this habit, he wants to save on 50 cents by not paying the parking meter, but then he will get himself a ticket for 100 rand because he wanted to save some money. So likewise, a person, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a person forget oneself, then this is also the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he will make you go for a holiday, and you will go and spend 500,000 rand in a holiday, but if you come back, you say, no, I'm very, very tired. What happened? You went over there, then you had to wait in the lift to get, because so many people were over there in your house, you could come in and out all the time, no problem. Then you got a stiff neck also because a new pillow in your house, your pillow was very comfortable for you. So you come back after a holiday, you say, no, I need another holiday, another take another 2-3 weeks. So in this way, so much of money you spent, and what you got out of it? Nothing. So فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ. So as I say, you think that we are smart with our smartphone, but what we are actually doing is far from it. Then we say we want the best education, but in reality we are giving to our children the worst education. We are paying so much, and this child of ours is not our child. One incident has been given that this girl had not 6 but 7 distinctions. And everybody was coming and congratulating the father. But what the father was saying was that if she had no distinction, but she would listen, then I would have been satisfied, because she has a mind of her own. She doesn't want to listen. So who do you blame? You can't blame the parents. You can't blame the child for it. The parents should be blamed for it. So our idea is that the thing is that we should turn back to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by tilawat of Quran. A person, once he starts reading Quran Sharif and he starts getting that love and connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that enthusiasm builds, you want to go and see the translation, you want to ask the ulama for the explanation, etc. And then a person will turn to zikr and get the closest and connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Hazrat spoke about, as he has said, Hazrat spoke yesterday about that incident of the historian Ibn Asir and the incident of the Tartars and what great harm and how many millions of lives of Muslims we lost, what massacres took place. But the important lesson from there was, and that is the purpose of incidents, is the lesson should be drawn. That when deen was properly in the life of people, then it had an effect also on the enemies. But if deen is not in our lives, then and one to few things that are the great cause of harm, وَلَا تَرْكَنُوا إِلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا, that we should not even incline towards the way of the Muslims, of the kuffar. Don't incline towards the way of the disbelievers. And the second is تَشَبَّهُ بِالْكُفَّارِ, that to emulate and imitate the kuffar, their dressing, their lifestyle, the way they do things. Islam and deen has given us something completely different. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq. Very quickly, we'll just summarize what we should be doing as a point of action. So one is we write what we learned, but there's another one that is what we are going to do with what we learned. So if a person has what he's going to do, then from here he will start his action. And the best is, whilst we are in this environment, to start our amal immediately. So one is to keep an elder above us all the time and refer to them for our islah, tilawat of Quran Kareem, zikrullah with love and devotion, durood sharif. Ashikana, walihana is two things that our mashayikh say, that you do something with passion and you do it with feeling. And we should be, our salah in the masjid would complete with all our sunnat nawafil, we should be doing it. Consumption of food that is halal and tayyib. It has a very, very effect, important effect on ourselves. Constantly to be making dua. And then Hazrat has been suggesting 5 amal that a person should do just as a bare minimum. Start 10 times, go to 25, 50, after periods of 40 days, then bring it to 100. One is istighfar, to make istighfar 10 times. Durood Sharif, third kalima, the Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wa Allahu Akbar. To recite la ilaha illallah and to take the name of Allah, Jalla Jalaluhu. And when a person wants to know, we all want to assess where we are going, how far we are going. So for us to see when changes are coming about, 3 things will happen. At-tajafi and daril ghurur. A person automatically will start disinclining himself from this temporary life of this dunya, which is fleeting. Wal-inabatu ila daril khulur. A person will start having a desire for akhirat. Wal-isti'adadu lil-maut qabla nuzuli. That he will start preparing for his maut. He will realize, now my time is almost up. And actually my time is also up. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us correct understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.